Wow, that's great. Great response. And my mic wasn't even on. It's been a great joy, a very short time we have together, but it's been a very blessing time. And I love seeing really the generations of believers and even the children being able to stay and worship our God together. It's just a joy to see that. And I hope that that's, you know, just what we'll get to do forever, right? When we're in heaven together, all of us, the children of God, just worshiping Him and praising Him and growing in our understanding of Him together. I just want to take time to thank Tom and his family for being such great hosts, but also all the people that I've met so far, you know, from the youth to the children and to the adults who, you know, all the adults who welcomed us, just feeling such warmth and the love of God really in this place. And it's been just such a great time together with you. And now to be here to preach the Word of God and to share the Word of God with you, even greater joy, because it's such a privilege for me any time that I get to share the Word of God and to preach the Word of God, because it's not about me, it's not about how well I can speak, but for myself, I know that God has called me to preach His Word, to minister to people with His truth. And so even as I stand up here, truly, I pray, and I have been praying, that God will speak through me, through His Word, so that everyone here can be encouraged. That whatever situation that you may be in right now in your life, the things that you're going through, that maybe no one else even knows, the things that you're wrestling with in your heart and in your mind, that you'll see that God knows. And not only does He know, He cares about everything that you need. Your deepest longings, desires, your worries, your fears, your anxieties, all of those things that God knows and He cares. And I believe that He wants to speak into our hearts today again through His Word. What a high calling to be responsible to teach the Word of God, but how humbling that He would choose to use even someone like me to do so, not because I'm perfect or because I'm great, but because we serve a great God who calls us to do His work. You know, with that being said, you know, again, so amazing to see, and it's such a blessing to see families represented here in this church, because that's what we are, a family of God, a people of God. Even though I've just met some of you this weekend, we're all baptized into one Spirit, for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ. And so we have a connection already that goes far deeper than even familial bonds, because we are bonded together in the blood of Christ, the salvation that comes alone through Jesus and what He did for us upon the cross in His death and resurrection. And oftentimes, you know, growing up in America, we kind of start thinking about even our Christian lives as an individual walk. You know, we say, have you personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And we kind of got so accustomed to this idea of individualism that sometimes we forget that we're actually called not only as one person, but as a people of God. That's what we see God speaking to all throughout the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we see God speaking to the community of believers. And again, how joyful it is, how joyous it is to see a church that represents that kind of family and community here. And I hope and pray that that will continue to grow and grow by God's grace. We're going to look together in the book of Psalms today, and we're going to look at a particular psalm, one that maybe many of us are familiar with, Psalm 23. And the book of Psalms is interesting because they're written by individual psalmists. And yet, the book of Psalms was used by the people of Israel for corporate worship. And when they would sing these words of truth, what they would actually be doing is encouraging and blessing one another with the truth of God, being reminded of who they are, that they're not just Israelites, but they are the chosen people of God called to know Him and to show Him to the rest of the world. And so even as we just sang, you know, during the singspiration, the praise time together today, the words of truth that we sang together, what an encouraging time that we can sing songs of truth. And I hope that we're encouraged by that, that our hearts are being opened so that now as the Word of God comes forth, truly that it will go deep into our hearts It won't just be words that you hear today, and as you leave, you just kind of go right back into the work weeks, the busyness of school, or whatever it might be, forgetting, but that this would truly be something that you're living out in your lives by God's grace and power. Now, there's many types of psalms, but the psalm that we're going to look at together today, Psalm 23, is actually what you would consider a confidence psalm. And all that really means is that as you read through this psalm, as the people of God in corporate worship sang this song together, it was a confidence that was not in themselves, not a confidence that was in their own ability or their military might as a people, but it is a psalm that as they sing it in corporate worship, again, the identity reminder who they are as God's children, as his sheep, and who God is as the good shepherd. And that's what we're going to learn about today. Why should we follow Jesus? Why is he the good shepherd? And there's going to be three things I'm going to talk about today, and they're going to be very simple points. But before we get to those points, I want to say that we need to trust in the Lord. Not just say, I trust in you, God, not just lift our hands in praise on Sundays, but to trust in the Lord means to know him and to live for him each and every day. In every context, not just within these four walls, but as we go out into the world and we're faced with so many different things, obstacles, things that try to hinder us, take us away from our faith in Jesus Christ. And we have to learn how to trust in God and follow the Good Shepherd. So if you'll turn with me, we're going to look in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 together. Now, I'm going to be reading from the ESV, but if you have other translations or versions of the Bible, that's fine. But I'll be reading from the ESV, Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's take a moment to pray before we get into this text. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the privilege to come and to speak your word. I thank you, Lord, for your body of believers here at CCC. Thank you, God, that you are working already in the midst of the church here, that there are leaders who love you and want so much for every person in this church to know you and love you more and to receive the comfort and peace that comes only by your love and grace. God, I pray that you would open up every heart in this place, that you would open up every mind in this sanctuary so that this word would truly impact by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would be with me. I humble myself and I ask of you, God, to use me as your servant to deliver the word that you want for everyone here to hear. And Lord, I pray that you work powerfully through this time. We thank you for your word, that you've preserved it for us over so much time, but in your sovereignty so that we could have your word, your inerrant word, no mistakes, no contradictions, but truly your word preserved for us from beginning to end so that we might know you more and that we might grow in understanding of you, to glorify you with our lives and live lives that are filled with joy and peace through Jesus Christ. So be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if we've been to church for any kind of length of time, the metaphor of God being a good shepherd or Jesus being a good shepherd is a familiar one. And we know that the author of this particular psalm is also someone we know a lot about, and it's David. And remember that David, before he became the king of Israel, was actually living and working as a shepherd. So there's a lot of things going on here where he, I'm sure as he's writing the psalms, looking back on the times where he took care of his sheep. He knew how important it was for there to be a shepherd for the sheep who would care for the sheep, who would love the sheep, who would protect the sheep. Now, I don't know if you guys know a lot about sheep, but they're kind of helpless animals. And they're not only helpless animals, they're a little bit lacking, you know, in the brain department, because they're considered kind of dumb animals, okay? If you lead a bunch of sheep to a patch of dirt and that's all they have, they'll probably eat that dirt until they die, okay? They need a shepherd to guide them, to bring them to the places where they can have food that will feed them, to protect them. I mean, they don't have claws. You know, they're not very mobile. If a predator were to come and see a flock of sheep without a shepherd, I mean, that's my kind of meal, a buffet, right? It's just right before them. There's no defenses. And before I went to seminary, actually, I was working full-time in an elementary school. When we talked about favorite animals, there was never a time where I heard one of the kids say, my favorite animal is the sheep, right? They all say like tiger, lion, you know, it's a dragon. I say, hey, real life ones, right? And then all these different kinds of animals, because they're fierce, they can protect themselves, there's something cool about them. You know, maybe a little girl might say, ooh, sheep, fluffy, right? And they might like the sheep. But sheep, they're not known for very much. And what does that mean about us, right? Because God says that actually we're the sheep. And I hope that no one's offended here. You know, I'm speaking here to you for the first time. I'm not calling the congregation dumb or helpless by any means. But spiritually speaking, we are utterly helpless without a shepherd. If we do not have faith in Jesus Christ, if we do not have him as our Lord, as the one that we follow, then in fact, we are like sheep that are open for attack, that don't know where to go to be fed, to be protected, to be cared for and nurtured so that we can live the best life that we can live, that we were called to live. And so God cares so deeply for us. So when he calls us sheep, it's not to put us down, but to say, I am willing to shepherd you. I am willing to come and be in your midst, to be present in your life, and to give you all that you need. And so those are some of the things that we're going to talk about today. So why should we trust in God as the good shepherd? The first point is this: he lovingly provides for us. Okay, so he provides for us. Okay, so how does God provide for us? Well, let's go ahead and look at these verses again. Verse 1 through 3, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so as we look at this first verse, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And the very next thing, as a result of the Lord being my shepherd, the psalmist David, he says, I shall not want. Now, as we read that verse, I want to ask us here a question. Are you in your life left wanting for something? Are you in your life in some way not satisfied by something in life, and you're just thinking, I have a desire that's not being fulfilled. There's something that I want, and maybe sometimes you want it so much, you're convinced that you need it. Now, all of us here have different desires, and this kind of desire is going to open itself up in many different ways, but you know, I'm sure all of us can relate. We've wanted something so much that we truly believe that we need it. Whether it be success in this world, whether it be power or respect, or maybe even just hoping and looking for someone to return and show you love in your life. There are desires that are not necessarily bad in and of themselves, but here it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So how do those things go together? You see, what it says is that the good shepherd leads us to places like green pastures where we can be fed. But what is it? He makes us to lie down in green pastures. And I think that's such an interesting thing. What does it mean that he makes us to lie down in green pastures? It's saying he gives to us what we need. And I'm sorry, I'm here to tell you that what we need does not always mean what we want, or even how we expect our lives to go. But to follow the good shepherd means I trust that you're the good shepherd and that you are going to provide for me. So even if I have want in these areas, God, I know that you'll give me all that I need. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. We trust in the good shepherd. He gives us what we need to grow us, to help us to know him more deeply. Now, I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable here, and I'm going to share a little bit more personally about myself. Now, ever since I was younger, I'm talking like kindergarten and first grade, I've always had a desire to be married. Okay. Now, yes, of course, I played soccer with the boys, and I played sports with the boys, but hey, you know, it's okay to play house with the girls too, right? So I always pretended to be the husband, and we pretend to have, like, you know, fake children, and well, they were real children, but you know what I mean, like, you know, imaginary children, and we play house, and I enjoyed doing that. Now, as I grew older, the desire didn't go away. I always wanted to be married. And as I grew up, you know, I never really got into a relationship. But, you know, junior high, you know, I had crushes and different things, but never really went out with anyone. But I still had this deep desire for companionship, for marriage. And it continued on. I always prayed to the Lord for my future spouse. And then I had this kind of, like, vision for myself that, okay, when I'm 25, I'll be married, maybe with one or two kids on the way, right? This is my thinking. I had such a strong desire for marriage. But time passed by. I got older. The years passed by. And I was 25. Still no one in sight. No marriage. 26. 27. 28. Still single. 29. Still single. Okay, some of you guys are, I see you feel my pain, right? And through that time, you know, I joke about it now, but through those times, I'm telling you, there were times when I would go into the sanctuary at church, just be alone in the dark sanctuary, and just kneel before God and pray and cry out to God. I would say, Lord, you know, you see my heart. You see my desire. You know, why won't you bless me with a wife? Lord, you see the loneliness. You see my desire. I need this. And, you know, eventually, you know, I was 29 and still no one in sight, but that's when I met Esther, who's now my wife. And we met through, you know, my church in St. Louis, and, you know, she's the most awesome and wonderful person. I know many of you haven't had too much of a chance to talk to her, especially because Caleb's been a little bit, you know, off this weekend. But she knows me so well, and she loves me so well. She's so gracious. And her love for God, it's something that challenges me and helps me to grow as a man of God. And there's no one else that I can imagine being married to and doing ministry together with. And so you see, God provides. But let me ask you something here. You know, is the moral or the lesson in my story that, okay, God provides, so if you just pray and cry out hard enough, then he'll give you what you want? So is the moral of the story, right, the lesson that, well, Esther is who he provided for me, and that's kind of just keep praying for what you want and then you'll get it. Is that my point? It's not. Because I'll tell you what he truly provided me with. You see, in those 29 years, desiring to be married, in the midst of my singleness, crying out to God at night and praying to the Lord, it was in those times that God met me where I was at. It was in those times as I prayed before God, asking of him, Lord, you see my heart, you know my desires. It was in those times that he would comfort me again and remind me of who he is as my good shepherd. That those times were needed because what he provided for me was not just a wonderful wife, but it was an understanding that in life I can trust in him and go to him at all times. You see, as I was on my knees praying to the Lord, in those times, he gave me what I needed most. He provided for me himself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. To know that to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior is truly all that we need. And so what more want could there be in our lives? Let's not forget that he has provided for us himself. When we see our desires for things of this world, and sometimes very good things, but when they start eclipsing the truth that we have all that we need in Christ, let's learn to turn back to the Lord in prayer and be reminded that He's our good shepherd that gives us all that we need. Second point is this. He protects us. So I'm trying to make it easy. He provides. There's a P. He protects us. Another P, right? He protects us. This is what it says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, there are some pastors, or so-called pastors, who will preach this kind of gospel that says, if you decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then all your financial troubles will be taken care of. All your sickness and health will be taken care of. So buy this handkerchief for $5.99, right? I mean, and people, they're making millions of dollars off of this false gospel that says, if you believe in Jesus and pray hard enough and give enough to the church, then you're not going to face any trouble in your life. Well, what did Jesus have to say? In John chapter 16, verse 33, he actually says, I can promise you that there's going to be tribulation and trials in your life. But then he says, but behold, I have overcome the world. He never promises that we will not have conflict. He never promises that we will not face heartache. He never promises that we will not go through struggles and difficulty in life. But what he promises to us is himself. He provides and he protects. And how does he protect us? Well, you know, there's times when we're going to go through this life, and there's going to be times where we might even have doubt. We might say, God, are you truly leading me now? Are you truly a good God who loves me, a God who is our shepherd? And we might think, when we're in the lowest valleys of our lives, we might think to ourselves, man, is God with me right now? Are you here? But as we look in this psalm, what do we see? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, who is it that is the shepherd in this passage? You see, Jesus, God, is not absent from this valley of the shadow of death. In fact, what we see is the good shepherd is actually leading them through the valley of the shadow of death. Think about that. We think when we're in our valleys that God is far away, he can't be near, but it's in those times we say, I will not fear, for God is with me. You see, he leads us through some struggles and some times of difficulty and hardship. And in those times, especially more so, rather than saying, God, are you with me? We say, I will not fear because I know that you are with me. That's following the Good Shepherd and knowing him. But we have to grow to know that. You know, when you're young in faith, sometimes it's easier when hardships come to turn away and say, oh, he's not a shepherd worth following. Look at the things I'm going through. But as you trust in him again and again, as he reveals his protection over your life again and again, his faithfulness, then we say, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So what's the valley in your life right now? Maybe some of us here, we feel like we're in the deepest valley of our lives. Maybe there's unemployment. Maybe there's someone who's sick. You know, just heard, you know, someone passed away. You know, what's the value of your life? Maybe some of us here are going through something right now, and what God wants to speak to your life is to say, trust in him. He's the good shepherd. He knows what you're going through, and he wants you to not fear, but to believe in him and know that he is with you. I'm going to share a little bit more again personally because I want to show the reality of following the Lord, that it's not always easy and that difficult things can happen. Now, you know, we were introduced, you know, my wife Esther and our wonderful son Caleb, he just turned a year old a couple of weeks ago. And we love raising Caleb and it's been such a joy. But, you know, actually before Caleb, just a couple of years before, we were actually pregnant and expecting a little girl. We named her Ara, which was actually her Korean name. We hadn't thought of an English name yet for her. But, you know, I'll tell you, this is something that, you know, I hope that no one here will ever have to experience. But I still remember around 24 weeks, you know, Esther got sick. And, you know, she had to be, you know, put into the hospital. And, you know, she was pregnant 24 weeks. And I remember the nurses came by and, you know, a few times they had trouble finding the heartbeat of our baby. And so, you know, well, we kind of got used to that because eventually they'd find the heartbeat. But on one of the nights, you know, the nurses came by and they were having trouble again. And they weren't really able to find the heartbeat. And then I started getting a little bit worried because they brought the doctor in, and the doctor came in, and they were looking for the heartbeat, and they tried, you know, multiple times. And then finally, I still remember so clearly, as the doctor, she turned to Esther and then to me and just said, you know, I'm so sorry. We're not finding a heartbeat. So all the hope and expectation of having a child and in 24 weeks, it all that just in those words just. I mean, if there's a valley that I've been through in my life, I mean, this was it. You know, we lost our little girl before we were even had a chance to hear her cry, to be able to hold her in our arms, and well, you know. It's 24 weeks, so, you know, Esther still had to deliver the baby, and it was a stillbirth, and we were actually given some time to hold her, and but we, you know, we were holding her lifeless body, not the way that it should be. It was one of the most painful times of our lives, and here's the thing. You know, you might ask the question, you know, Pastor Josh, how is that protection for your family? Isn't your point, God protects you? Let me tell you something. The protection that God gives to us, even as we held our little girl's lifeless body at 24 weeks in our arms, the protection of the Good Shepherd is that he laid down his life for us so that we could have eternal life in him. The ultimate protection that God, the Good Shepherd, provides is that through his Son, Jesus Christ, who was given for us upon the cross in his death and resurrection, that even our little girl, Ara, I know that she is with my Father in heaven. Eternity in paradise, that which was protected for her through what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. And so as we go through the valleys of our lives, as we go through hardship in life, don't look so much at the hardship. Yes, of course, you're going to feel pain and emotions, and we still have that kind of pain in our hearts. But we live our lives knowing that he is still protecting us and that he has secured for us eternity with him. And it was not something that I earned or that we earned or worked for, but it was by his grace that we have been saved. What protection, amazing protection of our Good Shepherd who lays his life down for us. God himself willing to do what only he could do so that we can have eternity with him. So what have we to fear when you know that your life has been claimed, protected by God and the blood of Christ? What shall I fear? I trust the Lord. I'll follow the Good Shepherd. Last thing is this, another P. He pursues us. He pursues us. So he provides, he protects, he pursues. And in verse 5 it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so you see David here actually changing the metaphor a little bit from that of a good shepherd to now a host who's preparing a table. Now that sounds good, right? God setting a table for us. But what it says next is a little bit strange. It says he provides a table. He's making a table. He does it what? In the presence of my enemies. It's kind of a strange thing, right? It's like if you're going to have a dinner party, a banquet, the best place is probably not to do it in the presence of your enemies. But what God is showing to us here in his provision, in his protection, but also in his pursuit of us, is he makes the table. He prepares everything. And all we need to do is come and enjoy his presence. He does the work. All we have to do is turn to him in faith and follow him, who is the host, inviting us to join him. And to do so in the presence of our enemies. You know what that means? It means that we share in a victory when we follow God. That the enemy, even though they see us being anointed before their very eyes, they have no power over us. The enemy has no power over us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry or be anxious as the enemies surround us, because we have God, the Good Shepherd, the host, who invites us, who protects us, and who is with us all the days of our lives. We are his. We're with him. And so how does this show that God is pursuing us? Again, he is the one who invites us. He's the one who makes the table for us so we could go. And he anoints us with his love and calling to be his. Now we can enjoy his presence and live our lives in that way. And look what he says. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When you are the Lord's, when by grace through faith you've been saved, there's never a time when he will stop pursuing you. Even the times when you feel like you're running in the opposite direction, even the times when you may have doubts because you've gone through such difficulty in life, he'll pursue you with his loving kindness. Sometimes through a brother or sister in Christ, through the church, through a sermon. This is God pursuing you with his word. God pursuing you with his promises. David knew full well, I'm a child of God. Everything that I've experienced in my life, the difficulties, the heartache. David too lost a child. But he turned to the Lord. He followed the Good Shepherd. And God empowered him by his grace to do so. CCC, do you follow the Good Shepherd? Is your life marked by one that understands and recognizes and practically lives out the truth that he provides for you? Are any of you left wanting? Trust in the Lord, the Good Shepherd, that he knows what you need. He'll give you exactly what you need. And ultimately, he gave you all that you need in Christ Jesus. Who's going through a valley right now in life? Whatever it might be, remember that the Lord is with you. Don't fear. Don't be anxious. The outcome may not always be exactly the way that you'd hoped or expected. But the reality that God is with you and he's protecting you, and ultimately that your eternity has been protected and secured by his blood, may that remind you to have strength, not by your own strength, but by God's grace. And lastly, remember that he pursues you. That's even the way that we became Christians. It's not because we enlightened our minds and became more spiritual so that we can know God. No, he made himself known to us. He pursued us with his word and through the love of God and Jesus Christ, through other believers and those who know him well. May we live our lives in such a way that as we follow the Good Shepherd, there will be many more who join the flock, who join the fold of the Lord. I pray that CCC would be that kind of church. Truly, even as Pastor Charles said, that the master, ultimate pastor here is Jesus Christ, and that's who we follow. May this be a church that knows the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 14 to 15, Jesus speaking says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." As we leave today's worship service, I pray that as we walk out of the doors of this church, they'll be walking out, following in the footsteps of our amazing Lord, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Be strengthened. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for every person that's in this place. Lord, bless everyone here. Lord, you know their hearts, you know their needs. For those of us here who are not yet believers of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that you would open up their hearts to know you as only you can do through the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you be gracious upon all those who do not yet know you so that they would come to know you, that they'd keep on coming out to church, that they would join fellowship groups so they could surround themselves with people who do know you and want to share your truth and love with them. And in your timing, would you make that so real that it's undeniable, your love and grace for them. And for those of us here who are truly believers of Jesus Christ, who are living by this grace through faith, Lord, would you empower and encourage those of us who are weary, who may be going through valleys right now? Would you empower and encourage, not by their own strength or their way of figuring things out, but by your word and by your truth and by your promises, would you remind them of your provision, of your protection, of your pursuit of them, that you will not leave your sheep behind. You will never leave them nor forsake them. You've given your life, laid down your life for the sheep, and now we are yours forever. Would you remind every believer here, from the youngest to the oldest, that we are your children, God, our good shepherd. We thank you for this time. May this word flow deep into our hearts, take root, and may there be fruit in this place. In your name we pray. Amen.